We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
From Learfield in the south end zone of Kyle Field, this is Studio 12.
Texas Aggies take down the top-ranked Tide. Just tomahawked it home.
Olsen Magic doesn't live on in the Ray and Manning of the rivalry.
15 strikeouts. What a performance.
On the Texas A&M Sports Network, this is Studio 12.
Wednesday edition, south end zone of Kyle Field. We welcome you all in. It's Will Johnson and Thomas Dick with you today. On Studio 12, and we're in that, I guess, maddening time of March. You get all these sports overlapping. Our basketball teams are finished. The men finished up in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But still plenty as far as Texas A&M athletics to get to. Baseball last night. Softball plays tonight. There is the men's swimming and diving team at the NCAA championships in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Men's tennis, they have a match tomorrow at home against Alabama. So much to get to on this show, but where should we start? Because, you know, Thomas is now involved with our golf team, the men's golf team, and your arrival here immediately made me think we're about 2 weeks away from Sam Bennett's appearance in the Masters in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, exciting times. It sneaks up on you. It's weird because even the – tax day is like April 15th, and mentally I'm always like, I got 4 months to get my taxes done. You don't. You have three months, 2 weeks.
3.5
and
weeks.
It just sneaks up on you. Well, the Masters, for some reason, like when the year starts, I'm always like, there's 4 months till the Masters, even though it's the beginning of April. And, yeah, it's right up on us.
You're not – I mean, April 6th is when he would tee off in Augusta. That's the Masters this year, April 6th through the 9th. Yeah. It's going to end on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
So, Sam Bennett, the U.S. amateur champion, he'll play out there. And the word that we received from Coach Cortan earlier this year is that when the Masters is finished April 9th, the Aggie Invitational starts at Traditions on April 10th and 11th. They're going Monday, Tuesday this year. If Sam were to make the cut, my assumption was, all right, well, that would put him out of the Aggie. He would play four rounds of the highest level golf there is, and I would assume there'd be some fatigue in that, so he would sit out the Aggie Invitational. My understanding, that's not the case.
Yeah, I mean they're in. Sam really said he wanted to play in his last Aggie Invitational.
Mm-hmm.
It would be his last home meet. It's not like some of the sports where, hey, you're really good, you get to host a regional. The regionals are all pre-assigned, so that would be his last home match. So, yeah, they plan on jumping on a plane and
might be. Imagine Sam Bennett teeing off on Monday at the Aggie Invitational after he had just made the cut and played on Sunday at the Masters. I'd go out to watch that.
Yeah.
You
should go watch either way. It's
now here's I like the Aggie and I've been out there, so I mean I'm more of a final round guy, which would be the Tuesday.
Yeah.
To see check out the winners, see if the Aggies take the title on their home course, but that's reason to get up on a Monday.
Yeah.
Get out there for the first tee.
Well, it's funny because I was with the T-Sips when Jordan Spieth was playing, and you had at the time the best collegiate golfer, and they hosted a home meet the only year he was there, and no one showed up. And it's like
– people didn't recognize it.
But then he goes and he wins all these tournaments, and every T-Sip's like, oh, my God, Jordan Spieth.
Now they all want him to yell, hook him back at him as he walks the course, even though they didn't show up for him when he was in the orange and white.
Yeah. You know, you're not any less of an Aggie if you don't make it to the Aggie Invitational, but you should go.
But
I mean, it's in the name.
But be better than the Sips.
Yeah, be better than the Sips.
Because that's what we are, is better than the Sips. But what is – I know you're going out to golf today to round some stuff up, but what is the schedule for Sam and the Aggies coming up here? I think they've got a tournament before the Aggie. They've got a tournament before Sam goes and plays in Augusta, but I think Sam's going to want some time on Augusta National before he tees off on April 6th.
Well, next Monday and Tuesday they go out to the – it's a pretty big tournament. And it's weird because it's hosted by Houston.
That's right.
But it's in Palm City, Florida, the Floridian. It'll have a really good field. First time all year, I just looked at the weather, knock on wood. First time all year, they'll get some decent weather. It has either been rainy, cold and rainy, or cold and windy every time they've gone this spring. So... they have a couple titles this spring. They won the Louisiana Classics a couple weeks ago. I went out to that, and it was cold and it was windy. And
not what you think for Louisiana.
Yeah, and one golfer out of the whole field shot under par. The Aggies won with, I think, a plus 11,
mm-hmm.
and they won by a decent amount. It was – yeah, I say go to the Aggie Invitational, but if you're in Louisiana and it's – 50 degrees and the wind's about 25 miles per hour, do not go to the Louisiana Classics. Stay home.
I mean, we've got a while before the Aggies, so we should be fine, but these last few days aren't exactly golfing weather here in College Station.
And so they'll play that Monday, Tuesday next week. And then we're probably going to have a media availability on Thursday. And then I don't know exactly when Sam goes out to Augusta, because I know they have – the tournament starts Thursday, but they have other stuff leading into that. So I imagine he'll head out probably Sunday, Monday.
Does he get in – they have a par three little tournament obviously practice rounds. Yeah, how much does he get involved there? The 2022 U.S. Amateur Champion.
And I don't want to say it. I believe he's playing a practice round tomorrow out there. I believe. Okay. I don't want to – don't mark my words. I thought I heard
– well, see, you're going to go find out today.
Well, I'll find out today. Yeah. But I thought I heard Coach Cortana a couple weeks ago say that. And then actually the reason I'm going today to get Coach Cortana this morning is because he said he was going out of town. So I assumed he was going to.
Maybe that's Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, that could be. You know, I don't know.
He's caddying for Sam.
Yeah, I don't do flight tracker like Matt Simon. So I don't –
if Matt were here, he would have that figured out in a matter of 5 minutes.
But, yeah, exciting times. Also, Jenny Park is playing.
Yes.
That's actually next week. Mm-hmm. I don't know the official.
The women's tournament.
There's a women's collegiate
that they have
tournament.
Pre-masters. Yeah.
So exciting times for that. Actually, I think there's an availability for her tomorrow. So, and Blanca's sister is coming in to Texas A&M.
Right. She'll be over in Augusta.
She is playing that. Mm-hmm. She's ranked 7th in the world.
So you have Aggies playing at Augusta basically over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Texas A&M golf.
And the women's golf team They're hot right now.
Third in the nation? Is that right?
I don't know the exact ranking. I know they bludgeoned everyone at the Houston tournament.
They did, the Icon.
And then they won their most recent tournament.
Out in Arizona.
Yeah.
The Clover Cup, which is one of those odd ones because Notre Dame hosted the Clover Cup in Arizona.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah, they have. We've got some tournament wins with Texas A&M men's and women's golf here recently, and now you have some Aggies going out to Augusta to play Augusta National, and it all culminates with Sam Bennett teeing off on April 6th in the Masters. And, yes, April 10th, 11th is the Aggie Invitational out at Traditions Club. Sam expected to play in that as well, fresh off his appearance at the Masters. So that's golf. Like I said, plenty more to get to, and I also mentioned that our basketball seasons are over, but it's kind of a chance to put a bow on things. We did that a little bit Monday with the men after they made it to the NCAA tournament, first-round appearance for Buzz Williams and the Aggie men, but putting a bow on women's basketball is something we haven't done yet. Joni Taylor and her crew, and I know you've got some stuff coming up on this as far as a feature on 12thman.com, but Joni Taylor and her team, just so injured, so banged up all year. It was hard to just get a unit together to compete against the SEC. But once they went out to the tournament to close the season, so some positivity to push them forward in Joni's tenure.
Actually talked to her yesterday after the all-staff meeting. I went down, and when I mentioned next season, her eyes lit up. Because they basically they take 2 weeks off after the season. Let everyone, and she says it's just as important to take a mental break as it is to take a physical break. So they take a mental and physical break, the whole team away for 2 weeks. The players are coming back in for meetings now, individual meetings, just to debrief last season and then what the expectations are for the next season. But she's super excited, and just a lot. It's similar to I talked to Schlossnagel before year two. Year two, the word isn't easier. It's less difficult because the players know the expectations and the coaches know the players. And because she mentioned they had a practice last spring and she judged what she could teach the team off those couple practices. And here's what we have to work with. And she realized they had a very raw team, not a lot of experience. So the package she could give them, like her package of this is what we do, system stuff, was limited just because these were new basketball players in general. So the growth we'll see next year, not only will they know what they were given better, but they'll slowly be given more stuff. So you'll see more on offense, more on defense of the style of play she wants to play. So she's really excited for implementing that.
The toolbox gets bigger.
The toolbox
you can
give
them to.
Well,
to
the toolbox
use,
gets bigger. Plus, they know how to use the tools. Better.
Right, that were once given. So, and the thing is, year one, year two. I mean, year 10 doesn't matter. I mean, stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to stay healthy. They were so – they just kind of got their chance taken away this year because of the injuries.
Yeah.
So you don't call it a wash because there were people out there growing, getting experience, game experience, young freshmen getting some time. So it wasn't a wash, and there's actually some value that comes with those players getting some experience. But, you know, that chance to really compete in the SEC probably was ripped away from them with all the injuries that they had.
And they made a – I don't know. You can call it a run.
Two wins.
Well, and even the end of the regular season, they won like so. They won three out of their last five.
Okay.
And they played really well in all of them. They just got really tired in their last game against. I think they played Ole Miss.
They did.
And I think Ole Miss just had a big win.
On to the Sweet 16, Ole Miss.
Yeah. Well, they upset a number.
Well, they beat Mississippi State, who made the NCAA tournament and won two games, I believe, in the NCAA tournament. Mississippi State, I thought, did.
Well, I know Ole Miss upset a number one seed.
Yeah, they did Stanford.
So that's the kind of team we were playing against. So excited. She was excited for that because she said the players worked so hard. They fought through that stretch. And while they knew they were getting better and they told the players they're getting better, there was actually something tangible that because she told him beginning of the season, we're not going to sit, like, we're not judging the season on wins and losses. We're judging it on where you, if you get better. But it's nice to have the wins to show for it.
Yeah.
And they got them at the end and they played really well. And I didn't talk to her about the incoming players because what I'm working on is more of how this season, the end of it built towards next season and how these players that are on the team will improve. Mm-hmm. But she has some really good players coming in too. And if they're half as good as Janaya and Sydney, the depth of the team will rise. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly a better chance to compete next year with health, with experience, and with that incoming talented class. So we're off and running on this edition of Studio 12. Will Johnson, Thomas Dick with you. We will come back with more in just a bit. We'll talk a little baseball, maybe even throw in a little spring football. A lot to cover on this edition of Studio 12.
Howdy, Ags. This is head baseball coach Jim Schlossnagel. Now back to Studio 12 in the south end zone of Kyle Field.
Will and Thomas back with you. Studio 12 in the south end zone. Baseball last night had a tough one, but they, I guess you say, eked it out. 8-7 over Rice. So, and they got this one in a very interesting way. I mean, you're glad for the victory, but you almost come away with, oh, well, that kind of – it got dicey. You got some breaks to win it there late. So.
Well, then, I mean, like, even you're excited because Trevor Werner gets some at-bats, gets back in the lineup, gets a home run, and then you're like, so you're up 7-3 in the last inning. And then,
That's it. But say the bullpen was doing so well.
Yeah.
Shane Sadeo pitched great, and for a while, Evan Auchinbeck pitched great. And then all of a sudden, Rice, I mean, I don't know if I say they ran into a couple balls there in the ninth, but – look, bottom line is they got him out of the park and they tied the game. But then Rice puts their closer in and they sort of, not necessarily the closer, he did a little bit, but I mean, A&M didn't get a ball out of the infield. I don't think the Aggies got it. The infield single, I think, is what they got in the bottom of the ninth. But walks, hit batsman, bases loaded, hit batter.
Yeah.
Brings the Olson magic. It's the most anticlimactic Olson magic ever because you had to go under a review because Rice wanted to know, did it hit the knob of the bat? Did it hit his hand? So, I mean, it was one of the least celebrated bits of Olson magic I've ever seen because everybody had to pause and they weren't sure exactly what the call was going to be. But it was actually the 45th birthday of Olson Field.
Yeah.
So fitting to get Olson magic against an old opponent on the 45th birthday of Olson Field at Bluebell Park. So that's nice.
Yeah.
A little something to it.
It just, I always say losses in March, February, March, make for must wins in May.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a game that they were able to pull out. So that'll be one less must win come May. And we needed to win the free pass war, you know.
Yeah.
We had a couple rough games against LSU.
I think we'd lost that so-called 90-foot battle four times in a row going into last night.
So they took advantage of a good eye down the stretch. And like we said, we saw some good stuff out of the team. Trevor Werner, it's good to have him back.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun ride coming up the next couple of weeks.
Well, you know, you're going to Tennessee.
Yeah.
You talked about this on Monday because A&M avoided a sweep against LSU. Well, Tennessee did not. They were swept in their opening series of SEC play at Missouri. And you mentioned this. You know, you got to go out and win three straight series to get back to 500 unless you sweep somebody. Yeah. Bottom line is Tennessee's going to have a serious sense of urgency against the Aggies when A&M goes to Knoxville this weekend.
It'll be interesting. I won't be on the trip. I'm headed out with softball.
Oh, yeah, you're going to Kentucky.
Do a little softball radio. But last time I was at Tennessee, they had not caught baseball fever yet. So the atmosphere was very dead out there. Now all of a sudden they're a baseball school. And the place,
you mean Tony Vitello wasn't getting ejected and suspended?
Yeah.
On your last trip out there.
So
now he's fired up and he's got the fan base fired
up. Place appears to be raucous these days. So it'll be like the first violent atmosphere that the Aggies will have been in this year. So it'll be interesting to see how that.
Well, if you don't like Rocky Top, bring your earplugs. But yeah. And that's not all about it. You know, if Tennessee's doing well, they play Rocky Top. No, Tennessee just plays Rocky
Yeah,
Top.
They play.
They don't care what the score is.
Yeah, I've been out there for some abysmal years where there's 200 fans in the stands, and no, they still crank. The speaker system's just as loud either way.
And got to get better starting pitching.
Yeah.
We'll see what the rotation looks like, because what Justin Lampkin's done lately, maybe he is a part of the weekend rotation at Tennessee. We'll see. But for whoever it is, that's one thing Tennessee can do is pitch. You know, Chase Dolander, Chase Burns, Drew Beam. I mean, three top-line pitchers right there for Tennessee. You're going to have to somehow match that. And I'm not saying you got to go mow everybody down, but you got to get some distance with these starters. Nathan Detmer, Troy Wansing, whether it's Chris Cortez or Justin Lampkin, they've all got to get some distance in their starts. Can't be 2 1/3, can't be 3 1/3 here. Got to get into the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we I don't think we struggled with as much last year. I think maybe we did. I'd have to go do some analytics since that's what we do these days. Yeah.
But, go see what TrackMan says.
Yeah, like the minimum you want out of your – like you'll take five innings, but you'd like
right.
six.
That's like, what I'm saying. I agree. I'll take five, but can somebody give me six or seven?
Yeah. And that's when you're better, because that leads into Saturday, Sunday, you have more options. And then that even leads into your midweek. And we – like last year we pitched – Walker Zander against Texas.
But won the game.
Yeah, and won the game.
He threw to four batters.
Yeah, but we got Texas on the horizon. You don't want to look forward, and that's not why you're planning your pitching staff out. But it would be nice, six innings, seven innings, and save the staff. They really haven't been able to settle into who has what role, just because they're being used more than you'd like them to.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all in the mm-hmm. we got to pitch a lot role mm-hmm. right now. So
yeah, that is the next home game, Texas.
Yeah.
Ought to be an interest next week, folks. You got the Tennessee trip coming up next week, though, folks. Texas here on Tuesday, and then the weekend series is Ole Miss, the defending national champions. It's a heck of a four-game stretch.
Also,
there.
They didn't have a great
no.
weekend.
Ole Miss got swept to start SEC play. By Vanderbilt.
And I'm still – I mean, Vanderbilt's very good. I'm still on the Ole Miss shouldn't have been in the World
wow,
Series
no,
last
the
year.
National champion, some say, shouldn't even have been in the tournament.
It was such a – some people think that there were some deals worked out to get them into the tournament. I just – Yeah.
You mean they served they provided the steak and lobster committee this year, so that came straight from Oxford,
but
Mississippi.
That's the whole deal. All you got to do is get in.
Yeah.
All you got to do is get in.
And then conversely, on the other side, last year, Tennessee was a prohibitive number one seed in the whole tournament. They didn't even make it to Omaha.
Yeah.
That's why you say in this baseball tournament, it's a lot like March Madness, just get in.
Yep.
Because then chaos ensues. And we've talked about it, that I think the one thing you don't want is the top overall seed, because they haven't won the national championship in 21 years.
Yeah, I was going to say one time.
Well, they won the first one.
Yeah.
College baseball went to the 64-team format in 1999. Miami was the top overall seed. They won it. The top overall seed has not won the national championship since. So give me a 2-7 seed, 2-8.
Yeah.
That means I'm hosting – all the way to Omaha, but I don't have the pressure and the curse on me that the number one seed does. The Aggies were perfect last year, the five overall.
Yeah,
so get there again somehow. Like you said, you're off to Kentucky this weekend. Softball tonight, folks, at Davis Diamond. They will host Louisiana Tech and then off to Kentucky for another key SEC series this weekend. Trisha Ford in her first year, 2-4 in the SEC right now. Got a great series win over Arkansas on the road to start SEC play, but then a bump in the road. They were swept by Georgia back here at home over the weekend. So Louisiana tonight, Louisiana Tech tonight. They do have a game with Louisiana, Evan Roberts, Raging Cajuns, later on this year. But it's Louisiana Tech tonight at Davis Diamond, and then off to Kentucky this weekend. And, yeah, you're going out there with Matt Simon for the call, but, you know, I've been to Lexington one time. And it has not been while we remember the SEC. This is the 2007 first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament. We played at Rupp Arena, beat Penn, beat Louisville. Had to play Louisville. A&M was the 3 seed. Had to play Louisville, the 6 seed, at Rupp Arena, the second round to advance. So that's the only time I've been to Lexington, Kentucky. Like I said, have not been up there while we've been a member of the SEC. One day we may play football up there.
Yeah, I heard
if I'm
we're
still
the same
alive
conference.
And, if I'm still alive in 2056, we'll go play football up there one day.
Depends on what super quad they'll be in.
Yeah, but
the SEC is going to have you have two permanent teams you play, and then you have two teams you never play.
We may never get to go. I may be going jumping the gun on 2056 playing football up in Lexington, Kentucky. But so, I mean, you guys, that's always love the baseball softball trips because you get time in a city, in a road town. So who's going to be picking the meals here between you and Matt Simon? That's going to be an arm wrestling.
You know,
match.
I'm giving Matt Simon the breakfast. He's a big breakfast guy.
That is true.
I'm not a big breakfast guy.
That is true. He is the breakfast guy.
Well, and I'm fat. I'm trying to do this thing where I eat like once a day, and I've lost like 40 pounds.
Congratulations to you. That's fantastic.
But when someone says, hey, you want to go to another broken egg at 8 o'clock in the morning, and that's my meal.
I'm not turning that down.
Well, and if that's my meal, then
– Oh, you mean you get nothing the rest of the day?
Then you get nothing the rest of the day.
On.
It makes for a rough day. Yeah, and there's a Grimaldi's within 2 blocks of the hotel.
Well, that's a Matt Simon must.
And Matt Simon loves him some Grimaldi's, which I – we need to get him to Brooklyn for, like, a week and show him there's better pizza than Grimaldi.
Yeah, I've been to Brooklyn, and I didn't eat pizza there.
Oh, my gosh.
I ate, like, pastrami and
– speaking of Brooklyn, RIP to St. Francis, New York Athletics.
Wow. What are they doing?
Yeah.
They just chopped the entire department.
Whole athletic department.
They will not be playing sports anymore.
One of my favorite basketball gyms. It holds, like, 300 people, and – there used to be – I don't know if I can tell this. I can tell this story. There was a guy named Rich, and he was blind, so we called him Blind Rich. I would help do radio for Monmouth basketball, and he would walk over on press row and just plug into the radio broadcast because he'd want to listen to our radio broadcast.
That's nice of
him. Yeah, nicest guy in the world. But, yeah, he was big, and he would go to Long Island University games. He'd go to St. Francis, New York games. And if he's still around – he can't go to St. Francis.
St. Francis is no longer an option.
Yeah. So.
Sad, isn't it? Or as you would say, very sad.
Very sad.
Very sad, yes. The Terriers?
The Terriers.
Well, all the best to the Terriers.
I have some spots picked out.
You said Lexington's got some sushi.
They got some
sushi.
Is
that right?
Yeah. I don't know if it was Honda or Toyota. One of the Japanese manufacturers put a big complex out there. So when all the executives came over, it wasn't like the movie Gung Ho.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, pretty good movie. Mm-hmm. I think Michael Keaton, this is a hot take, better than Tom Hanks.
Better than Tom Hanks.
Michael Keaton better than Tom
Hanks. I always look at Michael Keaton as the original Batman of my lifetime.
Well, I loved him in Mr. Mom and Gung Ho.
Mr. Mom, that's a great one, yeah.
But anyhow, so the executives had some they wanted – real Japanese food and sushi in there. There's apparently, and I heard this originally from Coach Seeley, I believe, but then other people confirmed it, and then I had some, and it was really good.
Good stuff. Well, go get some.
We'll see.
All right. Well, enjoy the trip with Matt Simon. I want to get back to Lexington one day.
Well, it's really awesome when you fly in because you fly in and there's all the horse farms with the fences.
Oh, it's beautiful. You know, when I went to Lexington, I drove up there for the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah.
And you pass thousands of horse farms going into
and
Lexington.
Really
it's
sad,
beautiful territory.
Really sad. One year we were going out for baseball. It was opening weekend at Keeneland, which is one of the most beautiful horse tracks.
I've seen Keeneland. I haven't gone to the
and
races
it
there.
And it rained and thunderstormed the whole weekend. That was the one where we sat out.
Didn't you just play a doubleheader Sunday?
Well, yeah, we just
it?
Played a doubleheader Sunday. The people on the grounds crew, like we could hear him on the walkie-talkie, and he was like, well, we're squeegeeing the water out of the outfield. We'll be done in about 20 minutes. And then, like, 20 minutes later, they're like, we're still we should be done in 20. They did this for, like, 3 hours on Friday night. And then finally they called the game off. I could have told you 3 hours ago.
You're not going to make a dime without a squeegee. That's all I know.
But
all right, man. Have a good trip.
Will do.
All right, Thomas Dick starts us off here on Studio 12. We've got more to go in just a bit on the other side of the break. Welcome back. Our thanks to Thomas Dick for joining us on Studio 12. Will Johnson back here, and I'll take you the rest of the way. And for the remainder of this show from the south end zone of Kyle Field, we will be taking you around Aggieland. And as always, that's presented by ANCO. They are a proud partner of Texas A&M Athletics, and they provide independent, client-focused, and value-driven solutions for all your insurance needs. Visit ANCO.com. What's on the docket today? Told you that tonight, 6 o'clock, Davis Diamond, Texas A&M softball, takes on Louisiana Tech, a home game for the Aggies before they hit the road to Kentucky. We were just talking about that with Thomas. Softball 2-4 in SEC play, and over the weekend they're in Lexington to face Kentucky. But before they hit the road, they've got the home game tonight. Get out to Davis Diamond. 6 o'clock is first pitch between Texas A&M and Louisiana Tech. Also today, continuing for the men's swimming and diving team, is the NCAA Championships in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For updates and all the information going on in Minneapolis, log on to 12thman.com. They've got you covered as the men's swimming and diving team competes at the NCAA Championships this week, and they are in action there today. As far as our tennis teams, tomorrow you've got a home match for the Aggie men at the Mitchell Center. There's a time change with all this. They have moved their match against Alabama to 4 o'clock tomorrow. So the Aggie men's tennis team, 4 o'clock tomorrow, Mitchell Center against Alabama. Head coach Steve Denton talks about the matchup right here on Studio 12.
We had our all-staff meeting today, and I've been telling everyone I think we're a top 10 team, certainly that level. Now, we've had some, you're right, we've had some matches that we haven't won. I can go back to the Kentucky match. At that time, they were 5, and we were a couple points from winning. We were a set and a break on court 4 that we didn't end up winning that match, and that turns that match for us. We go to Georgia, and similar situation. The same player has 4 match points, doesn't win, and Guido at 4 that day was up a break in the third set, late in the third set against them to beat them, and they're a top 5 level team. So we're there level wise. We needed to get over the hump. We were able to do that at Mississippi State on the road, a week or so ago. We beat a really good team. We beat them 5-2 pretty decisively, I thought, on the day, and then they turned around and beat number 2 South Carolina this last Sunday. So there are a bunch of us in this mix, so I really don't still take a whole lot of stock in the number behind our name. Ultimately, we've got to beat some of these bigger teams to move up, but I like the way this team is trending. I think we've won 5 matches in a row, and we're starting to play. Those matches that we played early in the season are beginning to pay dividends because we have played, I think I mentioned, maybe 5 of the top 7 already.
So there's Steve Denton, and the Aggie men's tennis team is in action at the Mitchell Center tomorrow. SEC play continues. The Aggies host Alabama at 4 o'clock. The women's tennis team, they're making the Alabama road swing. They play at Alabama. They are away against the Crimson Tide on Friday. And then on Sunday, the women will take on Auburn. So it's at Alabama and at Auburn this weekend for Texas A&M women's tennis. They are 17-1 overall. They are ranked number 2 in the country. They have won, I think it is now, 24 consecutive matches over an SEC team. I mean, this team is flat out on a roll. They will compete for a national title down the road. But right now they're trying to get through the SEC and win another SEC title. Last year, the women were the regular season and tournament champions in the Southeastern Conference. They're trying to do it again this year. The women are on the road this weekend, Friday at Alabama, Sunday at Auburn. Discussing the road trip coming up is head women's tennis coach Mark Weaver.
Well, it'll be a tough road trip. Every SEC road trip's a tough one. Alabama has a good team, and we always seem to struggle playing them there in Tuscaloosa for whatever reason. So we're definitely not going to look past Alabama. We're going to expect to play at a high level and expect a battle there. And Auburn has a top 10 team and an excellent season they're having, and we expect that to be a battle, and will likely come down to who executes and plays the bigger points better. It looks like there's a good chance of rain at both places this weekend. It's kind of gone back and forth, and as of now, we'll might be playing indoors on Sunday, so we'll be ready for whichever. We've gotten some great experience playing indoors this season. At the we played Florida indoors early in the ITA kickoff. We played the National indoors in Seattle. We played there for about 6 or 7 days, and we have an excellent indoor team that's suited to play quite well indoors. So indoors, outdoors, the Aggies will be ready to go.
So when we say it's a busy time of year, we mean it. That was head coach Mark Weaver for women's tennis as they are on the road Friday and Sunday at Alabama, then at Auburn. So like I said, when we say it's busy, it certainly is busy. On Friday, there are 8 Texas A&M athletic events, and then on Saturday, there are 9. 8 events on Friday with Aggie Athletics, 9 on Saturday. Now, not all of that's at home, and in fact, a lot of it's on the road, but that's how many Texas A&M teams are in action this time of year as we get late in March on the calendar. So that's your tennis update to get us started on Around Aggieland. Also told you that softball tonight, 6 o'clock, Davis Diamond. They'll take on Louisiana Tech, and the men's swimming and diving team still in action in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the NCAA Championship. Stay up to date on them and all things with Aggie Athletics at 12thman.com, the official website of Texas A&M Athletics. Around Aggieland is going to continue on the other side of the break. It's presented by ANCO, and we're going to revisit baseball last night. They eked out that win over Rice in dreary conditions, 8-7. The Aggies beat the Owls, and the Aggies are now 15-6 on the year. Going to get you some of the sound from last night. You're going to hear from Trevor Werner, who returned to the lineup and hit a home run in that game. You're also going to hear from freshman left-handed pitcher Shane Sadeo, who was excellent in relief against Rice. I want to get you some of the baseball sound after the win last night over Rice. It is coming your way. Around Aggieland continues, and it's presented by ANCO. Going to wrap things up on this show with baseball. As you know, they are off to Tennessee this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, against the Volunteers in Knoxville. Friday is going to crank up at 5:30 Central Time, 6:30 out east where Knoxville is, but 5:30 Central Time is first pitch of the opening game of the series between Texas A&M and Tennessee. From Lindsey Nielsen Stadium, A&M will head that way, coming off their win over Rice last night, 8-7. Trevor Werner hit a key two-run home run in the eighth inning. It provided insurance that the Aggies absolutely would need. Werner returned to the lineup for the first time since March 7th. When I say the lineup, the starting lineup for the first time since March 7th, because he had battled a hamstring injury. But good to have him back. He got a couple of hits last night and the two-run homer on the SEC Network Plus broadcast with Boomer White and myself. We caught up with Trevor after the victory over Rice. Texas A&M has walked off Rice tonight with a run in the bottom of the ninth, and the Aggies get it 8-7. We will chat with Trevor Werner, who DH'd this evening and had a key two-run homer in the eighth inning. But first, Trevor, you battled a little bit of injury here recently. First of all, how nice is it just to see your name written back in the lineup card for this one?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, I was looking forward to it since, you know, we went down, and it's just about getting a little bit better each and every day, and I knew that the guys behind me had my back in the lineup, but I'm super stoked to be back and ready heading into another SEC weekend.
Trev, you have an approach that allows you to have power to center field and right center just as much as anyone in the country. Talk me through your approach, what you're trying to do with the baseball, and why you can do so much damage to that part of the field that I feel like most guys can't.
Yeah, I mean, going into that at bat, I always tell myself to do damage on the fastball. But, you know, the guy had had thrown me a heater and I hooked it foul, but he hadn't landed a slider in that AB. So 3-1, I was sitting dead red fastball, and he left one up and I drove it out of here. But felt good and did what I wanted to with it. So.
Yeah, to tell me how hard did you get that ball? It seemed like you kind of knew it, but that's a line drive, man. That's a line drive over 400.
It definitely felt good off the bat, but I didn't know if it was going to get up enough to get over the wall, and luckily it did. So, and we were talking about it in the dugout on, you know, just how big the homer was,
They
started coming back with a couple homers of their own.
Yeah, last thing, how's the hamstring? How's the leg? I saw you may not have legged something out totally there, just trying to make sure you don't do anything dumb.
Yeah, I mean, off the bat, I thought it was through easily, and then he gloved it, and I was kind of surprised, so had a little giddy up at the end, but ended up legging it out for a single. So,
all right, well done tonight, Trevor. Thanks for the time.
All righty, thank y'all.
So Trevor Werner, right there after the win over Rice, also helping the Aggies get the win over the Owls last night, was Shane Sadeo, freshman left-handed pitcher, came out of the bullpen and was excellent, took the Aggies on into the game after a rough start from Wyatt Tucker, held the Rice bats down and allowed A&M to come back and take the lead, and then it got a little iffy in the ninth for the Aggies, but they ended up winning it with Olson Magic. But Shane Sadeo, he held the Owl bats down, helped A&M come back and get this win. Here is Shane on the radio broadcast post-game show after last night's victory.
Shane, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Watching you pitch, I'm great, my friend.
Thank you.
You come out of the bullpen, and you know what? It's interesting, Shane, that everyone trying to find their role, right? Everybody expects when a season starts, oh, I'm going to do this, this, this. This bullpen finding its role, and this is another outing where you and this bullpen, for the most part, do a really good job. How important was it for you to follow up and be as strong as you were following up Wyatt Tucker today?
I mean, I just keep doing everything I've been doing up to this point. I just got to stay where I've been and don't make anything too big of itself.
3 1/3 innings, no runs, 2 hits, the 1 walk, the 3 strikeouts, and really locking it up. Rhodey and I were talking, Shane, over the course of the weekend, the free bases, and now this staff is not giving up those free bases. It means the world, doesn't it, when you're not giving the walks and hitting batters and not letting them get on base for free?
Oh, 100%. That's probably the biggest part of the whole game. You can't let up those free bases. And you just got to win the freebie war. That's how you win games.
Shane, biggest adjustment from high school to SEC baseball?
The importance of locating your pitch. Even if you have good stuff, you still got to locate it because these are good hitters. They'll hit anything.
It can be eye-opening, can it?
Oh yeah.
But as I say that, Shane, it's not just here in the spring. You learned that in the fall pitching against this lineup, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. This lineup's tough. You've especially got to locate yourself against them. They know how to hit the ball.
Does Robert Hogan vulture this win by getting the last out in the ninth?
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, though, as a reliever, right? They don't ask how. They ask how many at the end of the day, don't they?
Oh, yeah. It don't matter. That out was huge. Got us out of the inning.
This team falls behind 3-0, Shane. Never any panic, right? You get those runs. Even in that 4-run ninth for Rice, you just know on this field, the Olson Magic here, that this is going to be our night. You weren't going to allow it to be anybody else's night, were you?
No, not at all.
Comfortable out there, by the way?
Oh, very comfortable.
Yeah?
I love that mound.
Do you really?
I do.
What is it about it?
It's so pure.
The other thing that Schloss was telling us, what's it like throwing to Hank Bard?
I love Hank. I actually love all of our catchers.
Yeah.
They're all really, really good. And it's just they all work really hard to master what they're doing. And all three of them are good.
I mean, you need to have the confidence in whoever is catching you, don't you?
Yes.
How much does that mean to a pitcher?
A lot. If you got to have a good relationship with your catcher in order to really trust in your pitches and have them block everything.
Because you know that with that trust, just what you said, right? You can throw it. It doesn't take something out of your arsenal any longer.
No.
Right? And with that trust comes the confidence of throwing that pitch, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Gives you a lot of confidence knowing that they'll block the ball even if you mess up a little bit.
Time to go on the road for Tennessee this weekend. You looking forward to taking on the Volunteers?
I'm excited for it. Never been to Knoxville.
Oh, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it. Shane, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on this win.
Thank you.
That's Trevor Werner and Shane Sadeo. Texas A&M beat Rice last night with Olson Magic 8-7, and they are off to Tennessee this weekend for a key SEC series. In this league, they are all key because there is nothing given to you at all. Texas A&M and Tennessee get their series started on Friday night at 5:30 College Station time. That will do it for us on Studio 12 on this Wednesday. We will be back with you Friday.